traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So that's the story.
That is the most important story I have ever heard on Impulsive. That was incredible. That was... Bro, I'm glued. I'm even emotional just like thinking about the story that you just told.
You scum lord. You held a bone over your dog's head using a fishing rod just now. Your dog went after it for hours. You did multiple scenes. And then I just found the bone in the garbage. You didn't even give him the fucking bone.
He ate too much of it already. Too much peanut butter in his system. And the bone could clog his esophagus.
It's just like you blue balled your own dog.
I know.
And his name's Blue.
Broly Blue.
Broly Blue Balls.
Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. That's a fact. I wouldn't just say that. By the time this episode's out, I believe we'll have hit 2 million subscribers. So guys, can we please give ourselves a round of applause for finally doing the thing that we said we were going to do for a year? If you aren't subscribed, please hit that button. Today's going to be an awesome episode. Yeah, man, doing vlog stuff now. So, sure, I dangled a bone in front of my dog and had him run. Dude, huskies have ADD. You have to keep them stimulated somehow. And so I went like fake fishing for him.
You think it would have been looked down upon if you dangled a boner in front of him?
Yeah, probably just because like bestiality and all. Mm.
Something to think about.
You make a lot of dick jokes, Mike. I gotta tell you what.
Well, I make a lot of dick jokes, but you're at least I'm not a dick like you.
That's true. That's
fuck.
True.
Fuck.
Oh, I'm working on, speaking of that, I'm working on raising my libido, dude.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
How's that going for
you? Not good. Not good at all. I'm just so focused right now. Like, guys, life is all about lulls, right? Sometimes you're on a wave of sexual escapades, wild, crazy endeavors. And sometimes you're just running dry. I'm on a very dry spell. So ladies, don't booty call me because I will deny you.
And for times you're running dry, there's Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. If you see...
They actually didn't sponsor this episode, but now they did. And we will be sending you an invoice. I want to bring on our guest, guys. He's been pacing over there. And I'm actually extremely excited for this. Guys, he is a YouTube icon. His channel was the first to reach 5 million subscribers. You most likely know him as the face and creator of the Equals 3 show. He's a founding father of the YouTube as you know it. Please welcome Ray William Johnson.
What's up, guys?
What's up, bro?
Whoa. I'd shake your hands, but you might be infected.
Oh, we are.
We are.
Good.
Especially him. Yeah. Hear this. Do the thing.
Do the thing. Damn, Grandpa. You sound good.
That's what we call him. Wait, how old are you?
38.
You're Grandpa, bro.
Yeah, right?
He
right?
looks really young, too, though.
Wait, you look 25. You look 25.
Yeah, you got the same thing,
though. Been exfoliating and shit.
Wait, hold on. I actually can't believe you're 38.
I'm 38.
Do you have a secret to stay young?
I exercise and eat right.
But your skin.
Yeah, I have that.
It's the heaviest organ in the body, by the way.
Really?
Fun fact, the skin, yeah.
Other than dead ass.
Yep, facts. Facts. Dude, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, man, of course. Of course. We actually met one time years ago.
How was it? I'm sorry.
Oh, shit.
No, don't. I was going to ask if you remember it, and you don't.
I think I do.
I said one thing to you. It's the only thing I've ever said to you in my life. So we were at a party, right?
Was it at VidCon?
No. It was at, I can't even remember whose party it was, but it was super crowded.
Okay.
And I don't even know why I was invited, because okay. I'm not in that scene.
Okay.
And I don't recognize like influencers.
Yeah.
And I recognized you. And the fact that I don't recognize influencers, I don't know if you know this, but if you don't know who a social media influencer is mm-hmm. to their face, they get mad.
Oh my God. Yes.
They get super mad.
Hell yeah.
You don't know who I am?
Yes.
You haven't seen my Fortnite makeup tutorials?
Yes.
This is bullshit. Bullshit.
Yes.
So anyway, so I recognized you and I was like, that's Logan Paul. And it was before
Tokyo?
Yeah. It was before Logan Paul was Logan Paul.
Oh, is it like Vine days?
I think it was like maybe Vine was, I had either died or it was just dying.
Interesting.
Right?
Okay.
So anyway, so when I saw you on Vine before all that, Like, I'm checking out Vine. Like, I don't watch a ton of just social media influencers. I don't recognize anyone. So I'm checking out Vine just to like see what it is and to write it off as something that I don't want to do. So I see you, and I'm like, this guy's gonna make it.
Oh, really?
Like, this guy is super charismatic. He's doing, like, the Vine stuff isn't for me, but like, he's doing all the things that like hit. Like, he's in his work ethic, he's putting out a ton of shit. And I said that to myself. There's only one other person I said that about, and that was Andrew Batchelor, right? Ooh. And both of you guys made it. So anyway, and this is before anyone had made it. So fast forward a few years later, and I see you at that party, and you know, I probably had a few, and you're the only person I recognize there, which is why I don't go to parties.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm gonna go tell this guy what someone told me when I was starting out, but I'm gonna go tell this guy that I think he's gonna make it. And I bet that'll make him feel real good. So I went. And I tap you on the shoulder. I was like, hey, man, come here.
I'm so nervous.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I tap you on the shoulder. I was like, hey, man, come here. And then you, like, you know, crouch down and shit because I'm all a fucking Ewok. And I was like, hey, man, I just want you to know you're going to make it. And you were like, really, dude? That's so amazing. That's my best Logan Paul impression, by the way. Dead on. You're like, really, dude? Thanks. And the party was so chaotic and crowded that we were literally like separated right
then.
No way.
Yeah. No way. So the conversation continues right now.
Right. So it ended, and I'm looking back going, I didn't even get to explain myself. I just walked up to a complete stranger. I didn't introduce myself. I just said, hey, man, you're going to make it. And he said, thank you. And then that was it.
No way.
Yeah.
Well, of course I knew who you were. I don't know if you know that, if it's evident, but bro, like, yeah, I had a fanboy moment. That's why I was like, I was probably like, oh my God, thank you. Like, was
right. No, I don't assume everyone knows who I am, but I assume you did because of your reaction and everything. Yeah. But I didn't get to explain. As far as you know, I was like stalking you or something like that. Or it was like, oh, it's a fucking prank, bro.
That's crazy.
Or
whatever.
Or you were like just giving him a positive medical assessment. You're going to make it, man. And he was just like, exactly, thank God. Fuck.
Exactly.
I've had this cough going for a while.
You're
going
to live. You are going to live. But... So I actually got that idea because someone did that for me, and I'm not like a name dropper, but
you should drop that name, dude.
Robin Williams.
Holy shut up,
shit. Yeah.
Yeah. So back in like maybe 2012, I have the privilege of shooting this little tiny thing, this little scene with Robin Williams that was part of a promotional thing that he was doing for one of those Penguins movies, right? Yeah. And it was one of those scenarios where they invite all the press out, and then each member of the press gets to film something with him too. Yeah. It's like a press junket or something like that. And I was invited from like the social media category, which at the time people weren't doing. So I was like, this is crazy. And I'm like the only person here who's not a real journalist, and I don't work for a magazine, but like, okay, you know, like when you're kind of in one of those scenarios. So we go to this like hotel banquet room that they rented out, and each group got time alone with Robin Williams. So it was me, him, his handler, and like a cameraman and producer, right? And let me tell you something about Robin Williams when I met him. First of all, Robin Williams is exactly the guy you want him to be when you meet him.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He is on. He's that. He is the genie from Aladdin. He's like going a million miles an hour. Wow. Everything's a joke, and it's incredible to watch. And you just sit there like, oh. Oh, this like so funny. I forgot to laugh, but literally because you're in such shock, you're like, oh, this is amazing. But the good thing about him is I know a lot of comedians who can do that, but some of them are so talented, they can't turn it off. Mm. You're a meta comedian like that. Mm. Yeah, and you're just like, dude, have a conversation, please. Yeah. Stop joking. Yeah. But he can turn it off. And when he did finally turn it off, he pulled me aside and he's like, hey man, I want you to know I'm a big fan of your stuff and I've been watching it. I can't believe that you just got an idea and that you just went out and did it and you just started filming yourself. Like, that's so crazy to me. No one handed you or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to do really well, man. Keep going.
Damn.
And I die. Like, when I die as an old man, that'll be the second time I die.
I
died right there in that moment.
I was going to ask you, is that peak? Like, how do you peak? Is that peak?
That was peak.
Robin Williams said he's a fan of yours.
I came.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, how do you fucking beat that?
Yeah, you don't.
That's insane.
You don't. Everything else is secondary to that, dude.
Unbelievable.
But the thing is, before that, now this was back in 2012, so before that, I had so much doubt about where the industry was going because it was all so undefined. And in fact, there was no definition of making it in the social media world, and there still really isn't. Does that mean a certain amount of followers? Does that mean a certain amount of money? Does that mean you are on some TV show? Who knows? Right. Who the hell knows what it is?
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? the federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
But he basically assured me that whatever I was doing was it. Like, that was fine.
Yeah.
And I felt it necessary that, like, man, I got to pass that on
pass
to a couple
the
of people. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, wow. First off, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you. And look, you made it, man. You got your own, your name's on the wall. I mean, of course, we're at your house. Just so you guys know, we are not in an actual studio. We are filming in Logan Paul's house. Like, his cleaning lady's in the next room. If she runs the vacuum,
the
it's going to screw this entire podcast.
We love
the toilet
you,
is over here. When you flush the toilet, you can hear the turds pass overhead and the pipes. That's how much of an actual house we are in.
How does it feel?
Just expose me, bro.
How does it feel to know that the torch he just handed you on Impulsive was originally lit by Robin Williams?
I feel like I need to pass it to someone more worthy.
You got to pass it on.
God, immediately.
Well, I've always wanted you to do well. Like, I've always,
thank you.
Always been rooting for you,
thank
right?
You.
And I want you to pass it on to someone else, whoever that is.
I've had, I haven't passed
and don't
the
do
torch.
It to get laid. Sorry, but don't.
No, I won't.
Hey, baby. I got a podcast.
No.
I go.
My name's on the wall.
My name's in the middle of a word that is a real word, and I just put my last name in there. That's not how you spell Impulsive, by the way, for anyone wondering. Like, I feel so bad for the person who's in the middle of a spelling bee, and they go, Impulsive, and they spell it like this because of this fucking show. Happened to me with the word, Mackie, I don't know if you remember this, Kettle. Do you remember Andy Kettle? This kid on our football team, his last name was spelled Kettle, K-E-T-T-E-L, which is not the correct spelling. They gave me Kettle in the spelling bee. And I spelled it like that. And I got eliminated in the first fucking round. God. Fuck you, Andrew
Kettle.
Dude,
Robin Williams would be turning in his fucking grave if you heard that story.
Andrew Kettle, dude, you know, you were a great wide receiver. I'm sorry. But dude, yes, I that moment, I am honored that.
The moment you don't remember? Go ahead.
No, I do. I don't. But
it's fine. The party was crazy. It was.
But I appreciate it. And I do think it's an important moment. And I'm honored that. You chose me because, dude, like I said, I have I've watched you since conception. Mac, actually,
yikes.
Over there, is my friend since I was 6 years old. Best friend.
Mac.
And he introduced me to your stuff.
Oh, nice.
Equals 3.
Thanks, Mac.
And
you good over there?
Yeah, great.
Can you get your Diet Coke or anything?
Fries.
All right.
Really?
Can Mac some fries?
Can you get him some fries?
You gotta call it.
I mean, yeah.
Imagine if he had
Uber Eats.
You could do that. I've had a couple of those. I haven't passed the torch, but I've had definitely had moments where I commend young creators for their creativity. Actually, David from Vine Days back in the day when David was still in college, David Dobrik.
Okay.
I was texting him. We had a long back and forth, and I was like, "Yo, I think you're really fucking talented. You're hilarious. You should move to LA." And he was. We've all. As young creators had that moment where it's like stay in college, go to college or do the LA thing.
Yeah.
But did you forego that moment? Because when did you start YouTube? I'm looking right here, 10 years ago.
Yeah. So 10 years ago, my ass. I started in 2007.
Jesus.
Yeah,
so it had only been out for what, a year?
It'd been out. Yeah. I wasn't counting at the time, but maybe like a year or two.
Okay.
And the only thing people were doing other than like uploading videos of their cats or whatever is it was stationary webcam talking head, like. All framed like this, people just talking. That's what everyone was doing.
Yeah.
And I say everyone, I mean like maybe dozens of people or whatever.
Yeah.
And no one was talking about anything interesting, but it didn't matter because it was so fresh.
Yep.
And I saw it and I was like, man, I want to do that. I could do that. Like, because I'm, you know, I'm going to school, I'm going to college, and I'm about to prep for my LSAT, which is, you know, to get into law school and everything. And I'm bored. He's like, I'm super broke because college will do that to you.
Yep.
And I couldn't afford a TV, but what I did have was this laptop, and I would watch these people in these videos. And I got so into it, I was like, man, I could do that. I could sit, talk into a camera,
yeah.
And I did. I just started uploading, and I don't even remember what I talked about, probably just like my day, nothing interesting. I wasn't necessarily trying to be funny or anything like that. And I just slowly from there got, you know, you get a few followers over a month, and then the next month you get a few more. And after 6 months, you got a couple of hundred, and you're like, oh, cool. Another 6 months, you got 10,000. And you're like, man, this is like a soccer stadium of people watching me talk about what I did in school. This is insane. And it all kind of like snowballed from there, I guess you'd say.
That is absolutely insane. And you were the first channel to hit 5 million subscribers.
I think so.
Dylan told me that. I even doubled down. I said, Dylan, is that true?
Okay, oh, so nice. The internet told me that.
Dude, that is...
That would have been a long time.
No, the internet, always right.
Yeah, I know, right?
you were doing YouTuber things before YouTuber was a thing.
Like what?
Making YouTube videos.
Okay, I was like, what's a YouTuber thing? I don't know if that's good.
So, no, but like when I started YouTube, it was, I saw your stuff, Smosh, Jenna Marbles, and like even then...
Was Shay doing Shay Carl or not?
I think so. Did you refer to yourself as a YouTuber then? Because now it is the most desired job for kids under the age of like 14. Like 75% of them want to be YouTubers when they grow up.
I don't think I did. I don't know when that word came into favor, and I feel like it's sort of fallen out of favor in terms of like influencer or whatever, because no one uses, or anyone who has half a brain doesn't just use the YouTube platform. Yeah. Like you want to hit all quadrants, right? So I think the term now is influencer. I know it was a term back then. I just don't know when, and I don't know if I ever referred to myself as that.
I got
particularly.
Yeah. I have so many questions.
From
like collabs to like the current state of YouTube versus the past state of YouTube, even like monetization stuff.
Okay. I'm not like a YouTube guru, man. It is one of many platforms that I have used over the years, but I can try to answer whatever you want to ask.
Were times simpler back then, before Adpocalypse, before the bad actors such as myself, before YouTube boxing, before the diss tracks, Ray William Johnson? What was it like?
So certainly people weren't kicking the shit out of each other in boxing rings to like whatever prove their point. That wasn't a thing. That's fairly new.
It sounds so stupid.
I would say.
What the fuck are we doing? Kicking the shit out of each other.
It sounds absurd because
all of it
is absurd.
It's so absurd.
Every single part of what we do is absurd. And don't take it seriously. Don't tell yourself that it's anything more than that.
Yeah.
It is, you boxing someone in a ring is as ridiculous as us pointing a camera at ourselves and taking a selfie. It's stupid.
It is.
And it's stupid that we make money from it. But
it's
we
so
do.
Dumb.
I look at it, like, I think about it every day, and I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I wasn't even, you know how, like, this latest political climate, people are like, what timeline are we living in? Mm. I was the what timeline are we living in guy way before that, because of the shit we do, because I can't believe I get paid to do this.
Yeah.
Like, people watch. It's crazy.
It's odd. It's very
odd.
It's
super odd.
Bum fights was the moment for me. When bum fights came out, I was like, wait, someone is recording bums fighting and making money off of it?
Not just recording them, dude. No. Not just recording them, they would pay a bum
right.
to fight another bum that they also paid,
right.
And they would film it. It was crazy.
Damn.
Yeah.
But how did you have the charisma? Have you always been this like charismatic, big personality? Because that's the thing, that's the it factor that 99% of people striving to be YouTubers do not have.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if... I go through like phases where... Sometimes I'm like chill and relax, and then sometimes I'm sort of on.
Mm.
And anytime that I get on camera, it's you get that like nervous energy. It's like people say, oh, just be yourself on camera. I think it's almost impossible to be 100% yourself.
Absolutely.
In the same way okay, so if you went through your average day, but either of you, you're going through your average day. Now, tomorrow you're going to go through your same average day, but your mom's going to be looking at you the whole time. It's like you would act slightly different, even if you weren't trying. Like, no, be yourself. No, you like, even if you weren't trying to act different, you would act slightly different. So when the camera's on, it's the same thing.
It's so weird because we have conversations all day where the jokes are slap all day, boom, boom. And they're the kind of jokes that make people fall out of fucking chairs.
Yeah.
And then when we turn the camera on, we're like, yo, how do we, or for myself at least, I'm like, how the fuck do I get back there? Like, when the camera goes on, I'm always slightly not as good as I am in just casual conversation.
A lot of people are like that. Dude, how many funny people do you know? Anyone. How many hilarious people do you know in real life who just simply cannot translate it to a means of monetization, such as a YouTube, a TikTok, stand-up comedy, whatever? Some people are just funny in real life.
Most of the people I know who are funny in real life can't translate it to anything, including stand-up, including anything at all. Like, they go to their job and, you know... in finance, and then they go home to their wife and kids, and that's just it. They're just funny personality.
Some of them don't want to, too. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
some people
don't.
You have to want to be an entertainer to be an entertainer, right?
Well, you got to be a little fucked up.
Facts.
Like, you got to be like, man, I didn't get the validation I needed growing up, and I need it from all million of you.
Yes. Is that, I know you went through the struggle of, just on that note, validation from views and likes and subscribers. Are you past that?
Yeah.
How far past that? I'm assuming a while.
Well, the thing is, So I've been doing this for, you know, what, almost a decade and a half. So it's sort of what I do. It's not necessarily who I am, but it's what I know how to do. Mm. Like, I know how to do social media stuff. I know how to monetize it. I know how to make money. I know how to, like, keep adding to your catalog so that the bigger your catalog gets, you'll always be churning out revenue. Yep. I just know how to do it. Do I care, like, about likes? And not really. I care about that stuff as much as, like, I mean, I'm trying to think of a cool metaphor. You know, like in a relationship, there are certain things you look for, mm. and then there are some things that are secondary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So making content that I want for people who want to see it is first and foremost, and like being creative. And there's a huge part of me now that I'm sort of evolved into that wants to use entertainment to help people, right? And
oh, I did see some of this on your recent uploads.
So that is incredibly important to me. The likes, it's a vanity metric.
So your main thing, like the girl's personality, is making stuff you want to make and giving people value. The girl's personality, the fact that she can make really good gnocchi is like the likes and
right.
It's like a secondary.
Like she got a tramp stamp, and I'm like, okay, that's I can deal with deal that. With that's fine.
Likes and that's the likes.
You know,
the secondary.
Right. It's secondary.
Yeah. Facts.
A tramp stamp. God, that's so
terrible. I thought you were saying she was like knock-kneed or something, or had like pigeon-toed or something.
Oh. Well, no, I thought you said it was a secondary benefit. Oh. Now you're talking about bad things.
Yeah, I know.
Not
I know.
That there's anything
I
wrong totally with a nice tramp stamp.
I totally screwed up the... I totally... Yeah, let's just talk about all the things that we don't want in women. That'll go over really well.
With three idiot guys.
Yeah, exactly. There's so much testosterone in this room. You guys need some more women in here, I'm telling you. This
Danny, is there any more of you running around? Danny's a real 101.
It's a total brocast in here.
And she ain't exactly like the most estrogen-filled woman either. Like, she's a bike-riding, hunting, MMA boxer woman.
Wow.
With a ton of testosterone.
When you said your assistant kicks ass, you literally
meant... Dude, Austin McBroom came in my backyard the other day trying to prank me with phase rug and like masks on.
Danny, I don't know what any of those words mean, but go on.
not even mask?
Couple YouTubers.
Okay, okay.
She came out there with a paintball gun, defending the house, holding down the fort.
Hell yeah. Did you hit one?
Warning shot.
Oh, nice.
Warning shot. Nice. But yeah, okay, so these are your recent uploads. And it's cool because you said you're trying to help people. Is that the motive right now? Is that the goal?
Yeah, and there's a crazy story about it, and I'll tell it to you, but it might change the tone of the podcast. It's a pretty serious story, and it's a little lengthy, but...
It's impulsive.
Let's do it.
Whatever you want.
So, my dad died, okay? Now, the story doesn't go the way you think about it. So, he was never really in my life. Like, he was... when he was married to my mom, when I was... right when I was born, he was like, pretty abusive guy, had substance problems and all that. And then, growing up, he wasn't in the picture. He was a deadbeat. So when I was 13 years old, I was fighting with my mom a lot, just a single mom, and I was like, I'm gonna like have a relationship with my dad. I'm trying to go live with my dad. That's gonna be cool. So I went and lived with my dad, and he was like the cool dad, like, you know, like he'd let me have a beer every now and then. And you know, I'm 13, so I'm like, this is amazing. And it was like the next state over, so it was far away from, you know, my mom and all that I could be. And it took me about 3 months to realize that this was not a good idea. Because this guy was a drunk, like a really bad alcoholic, so he was an addict. He smoked weed all the time, which is not a huge deal, except that he never had a job the entire time I was there, nor did he have one years before or after.
Damn,
he lived off his... He mooched off his girlfriend, who actually did have a job.
Yep.
He did a lot of meth. And when I say he was abusive, he would smack around his girlfriend and my half-sister, who was from a different family, right? So she lived there, too. So he would smack them around, like, get super drunk and violent. I remember one day, he picked up one of those big-ass mason jars of loose change and threw it at his girlfriend's head, like, full of change. You know how heavy that is? And it shattered on the wall. He took a wooden broom, and he speared it through the wall, throwing it at his girlfriend.
Holy shit.
Like, speared it into the sheetrock. Like, dude was super violent, right? Yeah. And I was young enough to know, like, I watched, he was never abusive to me. And I don't know why, probably because my biological grandfather would have destroyed him because he was a mean old man. But he was never abusive to me, so I just had to watch everyone else go through it. And I was young enough to know that it was wrong, but I wasn't, I wasn't old enough to know that I could actually do something about it by like telling the police or telling a teacher. I was just like, well, there's nothing I can do. So the school year finished and I moved back with my, I was like, Mom, I want to come back. She's like, yeah, I thought this would happen. Come back. And I went back and like, I've appreciated my mom and, yeah. ever since, because then I realized, oh, our petty disagreements were just nonsense.
Yeah. yeah.
But I told myself, man, I'm never talking to that guy again. He is a nightmare. So 3 years after that, I still hadn't talked to him. He has my social security number. He has all my bank account information. He goes into one of my bank accounts and he took out all the money. And like it, that was the bank account that was for my college tuition. Now, realistically, there was only like $2,500 in there, but that was all the money in the world to me. And yeah. that was going to pay for my freshman year of college. And he straight swiped it. And I told myself again, I'm never talking to this guy. Like he's the worst of the worst. Like every story I hear about him, it just gets worse and worse. So 10 years after that, maybe 8 years after that, I still hadn't talked to him. He hadn't reached out or anything like that. No amends, no I'm sorry, anything like that. I get a call from my half sister, the one that I watched him beat the shit out of her. And she's like, hey, I want to let, she's roughly my age, but she's like, hey, I want to let you know I'm getting married. I'm calling everyone around, you know, everyone in the family and letting them know. And I was like, really happy for her. And the guy she was with was like really nice and all that. And I, you know, I asked her, I'm like, hey, I haven't talked to dad. I haven't any updates on him. Like, is he still alive? What's going on with him? She's like, yeah, I took my fiance to go to his trailer to visit him because, you know, that's, you know, you introduce your fiance to your parents. And he's technically my parent. And she didn't have a good relationship with him after she left either. So she goes to introduce her fiance to him. And my dad was like falling over drunk. And he knew she was coming. This wasn't a surprise yeah. visit. And he's so wasted that he hits on her. Like he made a pass at his own biological daughter in front of her fiance. And her fiance, I think, almost kicked his ass. But again, it was just another story that I was like, I'm never talking to this guy again. I'm like every step of the way, I'm like, I'm so glad that I never rekindled that relationship. So here's where it gets interesting.
It's already pretty interesting.
So back in maybe 2014, I get a call from my mom. My mom's like, hey, I just want you to know I got an update on your dad that you want to hear. I'm like, all right, whatever, Mom. What is that low life doing? She's like, well, he has cancer. And, you know, I'm like, oh, Jesus, that's, wow, you know, my bad. I was kidding. I didn't know. She's like, yeah, it's really bad. It's like spread to his, you know, his lungs and his liver and I think his jaw. So by the time he went to the doctor, it was like everywhere. And he's got about a month or two to live. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know what to say. And she's like, yeah, and he wants to see you. And after all that, everything that I had been through, I couldn't say yes. I had to say no. I can't. And about a month later, he died. And so to me, my point of my story is that it was then and there that I realized that I didn't want to be like him. Not just in the sense that, like, you know, I don't want to be an addict and all that. But here was a guy who fucked up every relationship he had with anyone who would have ever cared about him. His girlfriends, his kids, his other family members, everyone. And on his deathbed, he wants to be like, oh, my bad. Can we have a relationship now? And just, you know, can we do that? And so I looked at that and I said, that's not going to be me. So what I did was I started working on myself. I started working on myself. I started working on every relationship that I had. I started being more outgoing and forthcoming with my feelings, especially the positive ones, like telling people, hey, man, I think you're doing really great. I think you're going to make it. You know what I'm saying? Doing that kind of stuff and really getting into like self-development and self-improvement on myself, because I firmly believe that you got to work on yourself before you can really help anyone else. So I've been on that journey for maybe five years or so. And now that I've been doing it so long, I got this vibe, like, I got to give back. It's time to give back. I got to help other people with you know, what they're going through. I got to help them find themselves and who they are, because life's complicated. It's hard to figure out. We don't have a definition of what the hell making it is. We just got to assume that we've made it. So that's what I'm doing now. And so I got this idea that I'm going to start a brand. Now, do you know how brands represent their product, but they also represent something more? Like Nike, they make shoes, but they represent like sport, right? And Coca-Cola represents like classic America, not just soda. So my idea was I was going to make this brand, and this brand was going to represent helping people and helping yourself. Somehow I'm going to make that work. So I started a show a couple months back. I just wrapped the first season and put it on all the platforms. I started the you know, there's like a Facebook account and an Instagram account, all stuff that like just launched, and it's all geared around self-development.
Is that Superhuman?
It is Superhuman. Cool. And people, you know, people ask me like, well, is that going to make money? Like, well, money is like the tramp stamp of this conversation. It's secondary. I want to help people. There are other ways I make money. I'm doing fine in that department. Been doing this long enough, right? So that's the story.
That is the most important story I've ever heard on Impulsive. That was incredible. That was, bro, I'm glued. I'm even emotional just like thinking about the story that you just told. I was wondering what you were going to say you did when it was at the cusp, the precipice.
It was hard. I mean, obviously, I still think about it.
I was going to ask, do you regret that at all? Do you regret not visiting him?
I don't, but I still think about what would have happened had I gone. I think if I had gone, I think I would be mad at myself. I'd be like, man, I gave him exactly what he wanted. And yeah. And he didn't learn the lesson that I feel like I want to learn from that, which is like sometimes there's no going back.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you screw over people that really care about you and your well-being, like that is it.
That is a very grave, very serious, very heavy example. But we in this house have been revolving around the word describing the scenario, which is accountability. Accountability. Yeah. Like accountability is so fucking huge. Yeah. And I think our generation will carry that so much with so much more weight than the previous ones, because especially with social media, people are being held accountable for their actions.
Yeah.
And I don't know the man, but I'm glad you did not give him a pass, because that stuff sounded horrifying. And
yeah,
I can imagine going through it, and even just hearing about it through your half sister was very traumatic. So
some
condolences.
Some people, it's fine, man. Some people, you know, in the family did, because they see it differently than I did, but and some didn't. And I was one of the ones that I guess is like, no. I say it firmly, like, no. I was like, no, mom. But it, you know, it took me a minute. Like, it was heavy.
I mean, yeah, of course.
Straight up.
Of course.
It was heavy. It was a hard decision, but no.
It's such a common deathbed request from people to see the people that they've wronged, and it's
such a cliche, yeah. And I always thought it was a cliche, like from movies or whatever, until it happened to me, and I'm like, no way, this guy, he's got a month, and now he's, what are we going to catch, are we going to play catch, what's going to happen, like he's never been in my life, ever.
I always wondered about this moment too, because I always thought like, what's the easier thing for you, is it to go and to fulfill that last request, and then be mad at yourself because you gave in and you gave them that peace before they passed? Or is it harder to put your foot down and then spend your life thinking like, should I have gone? You know what I'm saying? To give him that last bit of peace before he moved into the next.
And it's, yeah. And I totally agree. And it's indicative of the position that he put me and my half sister and a lot of other people in, which is like, he put me, his kid, in a position to make a parental decision to teach him a lesson.
Yeah.
And that's not a decision. That's not a position you want to be in when you're a kid. It's not a position you need to be in. You need, you know, parental guidance and some of these things. And the really bad parents will sort of reverse it on their kids. And that's what he was. It's exactly what he was doing, even into my adulthood, put me in that position be like, no, you got to teach you a lesson.
That's
garbage. I don't have kids. I don't want kids for that reason.
Really?
Yeah.
It was that bad. That
well, not that reason. I don't want kids because I That's just not my contribution. That's not the way I'm going to contribute to the world.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Who's superhuman aimed at? Is it aimed at people who are struggling with those kind of situations, mental health, addiction, or just people that you just want to help grow?
It's aimed at anyone who needs help.
Okay.
Yeah. Like right now it's not, it's so broad.
Yep.
It's like, this isn't one of the slogans, but if, you know, a slogan like believe in yourself, that could, you know, attract anyone. Right.
Right.
So right now it's broad. It's people who want to help themselves and people who want to help other people.
That's a massive departure from Equals 3.
It is. Look, my humor will always be there.
Yep.
Right? So there's still some of that injected. But yeah. So the Equals 3 of it all, the social media part, the part of me that does other things, it did very much what social media personalities do, which is you turn a camera on yourself and you go, look at me, look how great I am and how funny and how important I am. Yep. And, you know, I've done that for a while, and it's felt empty for a really long time.
Yeah,
like, I just don't get that joy out of it. And part of my discovering that was a few years ago, I got this idea, because I get these ideas, and then I just go for it. That's just part of my personality, yep. Right? So I got this idea. I was like, I'm gonna try stand-up. That looks like so much fun. I'm going to do it. And I did it, and it was hard. But I got, you know, you get good at it. And I toured around America for 2 years. That was just a couple years back. And when I was doing these tours, like part of the appeal is that you meet the fans afterwards and they take a picture with you and they love it. So people would come up and they'd be like, man, that was so funny. That was so great. You know, you're amazing and all this stuff. And it there's a certain amount of validation that goes into that. You're like, yeah, I'm great.
Yeah,
I'm funny.
For sure.
But what they also told me was something that really shocked me, and they would say things like, you've always inspired me. You're so inspiring. I started my thing because of what you did. And I never knew that, and I never knew that I would have that impression on people.
That power.
Now, that feeling that they gave me when they were like, yeah, that was so, you know, I looked up to you and you were inspiring, that feeling was completely different from the you are so funny.
Wow.
Completely different.
Oh, yeah.
And once I started feeling that over and over again, it started giving me these ideas of like, I think this is the direction I need to go. This is, I'm not going to have kids. My contribution to the world is going to be something completely different.
I love it.
Right?
How much more was that? Because I've just started dealing with it over the past 6 or so months myself. You know, like I've built myself on a platform of addiction. And so when people say to me, like, you talking about addiction has helped me stop doing heroin, it's happened, whatever, right?
It's amazing, right?
How much better does that feel than the AdSense check hitting your bank? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure you got so used to that cha-ching, cha-ching, and letting that run everything that when you felt that first person tell you, yo, you inspired me to make a change in my life, what did that feel like for you?
It's hard to make a comparison, but let me, here's why. Because with the social media money, the AdSense check, I guess, as you call it, there's, you know, the first month of having sex with your girlfriend, and then there's 9 years into
right? Yeah, of course.
So I've been, you know, having sex with that AdSense check for 9 years.
Or 9 years.
Yeah, like at some point, the feeling is it's good and the security is amazing, but the feeling is not quite the same.
Yeah.
And then, you know, new hotness rolls in, and you're like, ooh, shiny.
Helping
that
people.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Like this is a different feeling. This is a more. There's a more mature feeling. It's more, what's the word? I'm fulfilling.
Something tells me that one doesn't fade.
It doesn't feel like it does.
Like that's like a 50-year run.
Yeah.
Just because I bet you every time someone says to you, you changed, you inspired me to do this, or you helped me out of this dark pit or whatever,
yeah.
It probably feels as good as day one.
Well, I don't have those moments where, we probably all have these moments where you look around at everything that's going on in your life and you go, what the hell am I doing? What the hell? Like, am I going to be doing Impulsive for 20 years or a podcast going to fade out in the next 6 months? Like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
So when I do this and I start helping people and I go, I know exactly what I'm doing.
Nice.
I know exactly what I'm doing. And I know how good it feels.
Was there a point where you didn't know what you were doing? Did you have like creator confusion or a burnout like all of us do at some point?
All of it. All of, like, my creator confusion was probably a decade long, dude. And I'm 100% sure that you still have, if you don't have it, you have moments of it where you go, what?
Yeah.
I'm boxing now? Who? What?
Yeah, it's weird. Absolutely.
It's crazy, right? Because you know that next year you might be doing one of those things really hardcore, or you might not be doing any of it.
Yep. It's odd. Dude, I was a gamer for a minute. I did the Twitch thing for, I spent
that
like,
was amazing.
Yeah, $30,000 on equipment.
My favorite part of this friendship.
$30,000?
Wait, what?
No, it wasn't. But I did have a lot of fun because you were actually kind of good.
I got good towards the end, yeah. But when I started to get good, I streamed less because I realized, shout out gamers, streaming is hard.
Yeah, it is.
Streaming is hard.
Yeah. Man, I mean, I was terrible.
We got to be on for a little bit. They got to be on all day while they're playing games.
Yeah, anyways. Well, I mean, everything, I'm gonna like buff us up a little bit. Everything we do is harder when people who haven't done it actually get in and do it. And they go, oh, there's a lot to this.
Oh my
I thought
God.
You just get on camera and, you know, tell a few jokes and fart into the microphone and then you get $1 million.
Throw that memory card to the editor. He takes it, runs with it, uploads it. You don't look at it again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right, and you got to go, dude, if I had to calculate the hours that I put in every week for just the basic things that you don't even think about, they would probably run somewhere around 70 or 80 hours, yeah. Right? Oh, you're always on.
Last night was Sunday night. It was movie night. We were hanging out. Actually, we were watching Sons of Anarchy. Did you watch show?
Yeah, about 4 seasons.
So he never saw it, so we were watching it last night, but I mean, every 5 minutes or so, he'll pause it and go back to the edit, and I'll take an email, whatever. It never turns off.
Yeah.
There's never a time where you're like, yo, I'm off today. No, you're fucking not.
You know, why I like that is because with our line of work and a lot of other lines of work too, we can surprise people very, very easily. Like if someone tries to get in our industry and they have minimal knowledge of what they're doing, it's going to be next to fucking impossible. In the last episode, I said this, the barrier to enter for YouTube is so hard. It is such a difficult medium to break in. So we tend to surprise people with what we are able to accomplish. I guess what I'm trying to say here is a lesson that I got from a guy by the name of Jeffrey Katzenberg. I met with him 2-3 years ago. Just
name drop.
That's an important name, though.
You know
been
what Gene Hackman told me?
He said, I was like, yo, is there one piece of advice you can give me? And he said, exceed expectations, which is unknowingly what a lot of creators are doing. And it's a piece of advice that applies to every part of life. Exceed expectations. If someone expects you to operate at this level, operate fucking here.
Oh, yeah.
If you are constantly doing that in life, not only are you going to be fulfilled, you probably end up being really successful too.
Under promise, over deliver.
Yep.
Big is one of the biggest rules you'll ever get in life. Tell people you can't do shit and then blow them out of the fucking park every time you do it.
I mean, this should go without saying. I forgot to ask because I've dropped so many F-bombs. Like, it's cool. Are you guys going to bleep it out?
Not on this show. No.
Fuck shit, bitch.
No, you can't, anything, swear.
Snot. I can't.
No,
I can't.
You can't say snot, but you can say the rest of the words.
Okay. Can't say snot. Titties and feet. Is that
That's
cool?
Fine. It's all good. Feet. It's all good.
Yeah. Well, because I was, you know, I could come in and do a good podcast, but my actual goal is to get this episode demonetized.
It already is.
We demonetize everything.
Can we do like
a... You can't do that.
No, I'm not saying do it. I'm saying say the words.
Yeah, it'll go.
Say the words because, you know, it'll get caught up in that filter.
The algorithm,
yeah. And now, like right now, you have to like manually review. YouTube has to manually review. Just because I said Nazi, Nazi, Nazi a million times.
He said on the last episode, I don't know. I don't, does the YouTube algorithm, you might know, does the YouTube algorithm hear these words?
Yes.
Absolutely.
What?
Yes. You know that. That's why you have to blank the swears.
No, I can prove it to you.
No, it does.
Who does the automatic captions?
YouTube.
I don't know.
YouTube does them.
They do. Of course.
They're this automated. Is, yeah, you just hit, fact. And then they're automated. Now they're not all correct.
I was about
but
to say, why do they say some fucked up shit sometimes, dude? Some of my automatic captions are ridiculous.
Right, but they'll pick up words like Nazi. And if they pick up that word...
Are they sure you didn't say Yahtzee, the popular board game that you play with
your friends? It doesn't matter. They're going to err on the safe side.
Son of a bitch.
They're going to err on the safe side. But
err on the safe side and put in the bad word.
Do some podcast, ad reads or whatever. And this episode of Impulsive has been brought to you by Tampax.
Whoever's sponsoring. That'd be an honor. Yesterday was International Women's Day, so it's quite possible.
There you go.
We do boner pills.
We do. Yeah,
like personally, or are you talking about sponsors?
Both.
Okay.
Depends on the day.
Whatever.
Dude, these days are long, dude. Sometimes I need a little extra help, but thanks to Blue Chew.
It has not sponsored this episode. We have to convince them to sponsor.
We're going to send you 2 invoices. Your brand's pretty edgy, yeah?
My personal brand?
Yeah, you just talked about Nazis, man.
Whatever gets the laugh. I would say the line for what is edgy sort of moves every, I don't know, year or two, and I just kind of do what I feel.
Have you had to pull back because of the climate on social and the sensitivity that people are displaying?
In a way, I'm always conscious when I talk about anything or make a joke about anything that people are going to perceive as political. I'm not saying I don't do the joke. I'm saying it registers in my head of like, oh yeah, people are probably going to fight in the comments about that.
Mm.
You don't want that.
Look, it's not my goal. Look, I can't have this contradictory goal of like, I want to help people and I want people to kick each other's ass in the comments. Like, that doesn't work, right?
Is that why you wore a MAGA hat without the words on it?
That's exactly why. This is my ghost MAGA hat. Exactly.
Well, you also always, your brand was always at least a little bit, I mean, you did Big Booty Bitches on a video in 2010. You were never a PG, you know, creator, were you?
No, but like, that's not that edgy.
No, I know that, like, but at least, come on. No, but at least it gives you a platform to stand on when you're like, he was making at one point content for kids. And so when he when he started swearing, you know what I'm saying? So like, you set the bar to a point where you don't really have to be super
right. PG. And I don't make content for kids right. And all I can do is be myself, and myself will say things like big booty bitches or facts. Whatever.
When did
10
you,
years
how,
ago.
How old were you when you started YouTube? 20, 24, 25?
Probably 24, 25.
So you were already like an adult.
Yeah.
You knew who you were.
I think a lot of that's debatable, but I was definitely an adult. I was figuring it out like everyone else.
Yeah. I guess the point I'm trying to make is like, I definitely went through a phase where I started YouTube at what, 21? Jake started at 19, and so we were kids. We still are fucking kids, but the content especially resonated that and was a mirror for who we were, and it was just like childish, immature shit. So growing up online and like finding out who you are while having to appease an audience who's telling you who they think you are is a phenomenon that a lot of young creators, a lot of celebrities too. I mean, we see it with every single young Hollywood actor that goes through it. And
you were 21.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being Siwa growing up online?
JoJo, I believe in you. I know she's going to make it out of it. I know she is, dude. JoJo's the GOAT.
Who the fuck are you talking
JoJo,
about?
Right you now? Know JoJo Siwa. Come on.
I don't.
You don't watch like anyone?
I researched this podcast and I was like, oh, it's been a while since I watched something.
Which episode did you pick? Did you even watch any of it?
I saw two of them. I saw one and you had, no, they were great. There's a reason why I said yes to come on, but you had Ben Shapiro on.
Oh, yes.
Who I don't care about his politics. I just love Ben as a character.
Same.
Yeah.
Like he's just so,
both of us,
he's so funny to watch. Yeah, it's all the Democrats' fault. facts don't care about your feelings.
Feelings, yeah.
Yeah, like he's that guy. And coincidentally enough, about 2 weeks ago, I had this voice acting gig and they were like, can you do a Ben Shapiro? It's like, yeah, I can try. So I had to, they don't want me like talking about it too much. I can't give it too much away, but I had to rap a comedy rap
as Ben Shapiro.
So again, the producers probably don't want me saying any more than that, but at some point, a Ben Shapiro rap is
amazing.
Coming out.
Amazing. That's incredible. Dude, I was going to pick up some records. I had bought a record player recently and I was in, I think it was in like Sherman Oaks or something. I was walking down the street and Ben Shapiro comes out of a restaurant randomly after being on our podcast. He's like, what's up? How you doing? And so he doesn't sound like that.
Magically, he has the same voice as my mom. He's as Robin.
He's Mickey Mouse all of a sudden. I don't.
Born.
Thank you, Danny. And just like someone saw me at a casino in Vegas the other day and they tweeted like, you know, Logan Paul is like the most normal looking dude just like walking around the casino. When Ben Shapiro is not like on, not doing a podcast, not talking about politics, and he's holding his kid outside of a restaurant just having a conversation, dude, he's the happiest, go lucky, jovial son of a bitch I've ever seen in my life.
It was cool.
It's cool to see on camera personality and then these people off camera, because there is a massive difference sometimes.
Yeah, you know this guy from the Young Turks.
I do not. Yeah, that's the one. I'll look him up.
But you know who I'm talking. Or you know who I'm talking about.
Is he the main guy? The thick one.
Yeah, he's the guy. Yeah. He's the guy you would recognize.
Yes, I know him.
But I've had lunch with him on a couple of occasions for several different reasons. And as political as he is on his show, we never talked about politics. It just never came up, and had conversations about anything else. And if I didn't know that that's the kind of show he does, I would never peg him as political.
Yeah.
And he's also like a really great dude. Like he's a really cool guy to sit down and have lunch with. Yeah. It's nuts how much he just like turn it off.
Agree. So, dude, I actually, your girlfriend, David and I were talking. I do not consider the girl. Can we say her name or no? Should we call her Stephanie?
Oh yeah, give her the fake name.
An arbitrary name of Stephanie.
Yeah.
Mike's girlfriend. Her real name, let's say, Stephanie. Is also the number one porn star in the world, Lana Rhodes. Yeah. Stephanie is not Lana Rhodes. They are two different people. I refuse to believe they're the same person, dude.
Lana Rhodes doesn't even really exist anymore. Mm. That character is kind of gone.
No, I saw her at the strip club, dude.
Traffic jams, tailgating,
pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
She turns it back on for dances. But I mean, she hasn't shot an adult scene, obviously, in years. She's completely different.
Is this a bit? Or are you actually, your girlfriend's actually a porn star?
The number one porn star in the world. Yeah.
But she just doesn't do porn anymore. She stopped.
Oh, she's an ex-porn star.
Yeah, but she's still number one. Lana Rhodes.
Who ranks porn stars?
Pornhub.
Your dick.
And searches. Yeah.
Pornhub searches. Okay. I mean, there's like a war, and then an award. Like
she's gotten tons of awards.
They get awards. Best blowjob.
Just based on my dating her, I trended number one on Pornhub a couple weeks ago. I've never made a video before. I have made a ton of videos. I've just never put any public.
Your parents must be so proud.
Oh, they're happy as fuck. My mom's meeting her probably as this episode rolls. She'll be meeting her.
That's great.
Yeah. Monday. Next
did they have any objections to it or anything
absolutely
like that?
Absolutely not. I'm an ex-heroin user, fucking psychopath.
Oh, they're just happy you met someone you like.
No, they're happy I'm not dead. Alive, dude. I'm alive.
Okay, that's we'll start
it.
There.
They're
we'll
like, yo, there. If you're alive and you're not selling or using drugs, you are a fucking... It's like a miracle.
Yeah. That's great, man. Literally. And by the way, congrats on your recovery, man. That's incredible.
You.
Yeah, so you're completely sober.
Right now, yeah. I don't mean
right in this moment.
No. So I started.
Obviously, you're high now. I'm talking about in general.
I started drinking a little bit about a couple of years ago, and I realized that there was no issue with it. It just wasn't for me. I don't like it that much. So now I'm completely and utterly sober. And by the way, Stephanie is amazing. She's amazing. I mean, she just she went through a little phase, and she made enough money to buy multiple exotic cars and multiple houses in multiple states and did her thing. She's a hustler, but she's also just a sweet girl. And, you know, we've all gotten to know her, and she's super down to earth and great to all of us.
Yeah, she's fucking awesome, dude.
Yeah.
And how long have you guys been together?
Not very long.
Not very long?
A couple months.
Listen.
You know how they met?
Go ahead.
Then I'm down to listen?
No. Your story's going to be way more interesting than mine.
This one might be, actually.
I found her because Mike had his fascination, affinity, whatever you want to call it, with adult film stars, and she's the number one in the world. She's young, she's gorgeous, and for his birthday, I surprised him with her. That's how they got introduced for one of my vlogs, a piece of content.
Blindfolded me. I turned around. Oh. I thought it was going to be like a trip or some car or something like that, and there was Lana Rhodes standing behind me, and so I said, oh, wow, what the fuck, and we hung out for an hour for the vlog, but then that night, we hung out again, and then we hung out again. We went to his brother's fight in Miami, and it kind of turned into a thing.
It blossomed.
Yeah. So for his birthday, you got your boy a girlfriend.
His girlfriend, yes.
Facts, yes. And so now he wants me to return the favor for his birthday.
And by the way, I'm fucking pissed he hasn't.
No,
I guess I can't be, because my birthday hasn't come yet.
You got to get on it.
But what were you going to say?
Fuck.
Well, okay, listen to my love story. So I've been dating Kelly for 4 years.
Cool.
We live together, but we bought a house together and all that, so we're like definitely in that zone. So I'm about to get engaged. Actually, I haven't talked about that publicly.
Wait, I was about to say,
can you say that?
Yeah. No. We talk about everything. So so we plan it all together and all that. But no, I haven't talked about it before with anyone.
Wait. I typed in.
Well, not with anyone, but with anyone publicly. So
wait.
To get on the stage.
I typed in Ray William Johnson girlfriend. Did you date Anna Akana?
Yeah, like 8 years ago.
You did?
Yeah. Anyway, my story's better than that.
Sorry. Is it the redhead? Is that her?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
He's like, can you get all the rest of the pictures off the screen, please?
Damn, y'all are a beautiful couple. I'll do this.
So, it's not. I'm not petty like that. It's
like
not a big deal.
Him and all his exes.
It's not a big deal.
Just hanging out.
No, baby, I swear to God, I never had an ex before you, I swear.
Oh, I'm so sorry. He's like, was that Jenna Marbley? What the hell?
Oh, no.
Who haven't you dated?
So I'm about to get engaged, right? And I've got this all planned out. I'm supposed to give a TED Talk in Belgium in about 3 weeks, okay? And we'll talk about that in a minute.
Holy shit.
But I get invited to do this TED Talk, and I'm like, this is awesome. This is like, I can't, because I love being on stage. I did stand up for a long time, and this is going to be great. And I thought, oh, okay, so I will take Kelly with me, and I'll give the TED Talk, and then we'll spend 2 weeks, and we'll travel around Europe, and then we'll end in Paris, and then I'll take her to Paris Disneyland, because she loves Disneyland, and then I'll be a total cliche, and under the Eiffel Tower, I'll propose, and it'll be great. And I sort of walked her through it and talked, and she's like, this is amazing, this is a huge dream, and it was all ruined.
Because you told her, probably. Because I think you're supposed to wait and actually just do it. I don't know if you know that.
Actually, it was because of the coronavirus.
Oh, you're lying!
But you're close.
Oh, no!
No, we don't have it.
Wait, no, but that's a joke.
Oh, okay.
The coronavirus did not ruin your...
Yes, it did. I'm not going to sit on a plane for 12 hours. Because I'm not worried about necessarily about getting it because our demographic survives it. It's I don't want to be quarantined in a foreign country for 2 months.
Dude, propose to her in quarantine. That's a better story than some Eiffel Tower.
That'll go viral.
I totally vlog it, yes. In a hazmat suit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dude, that'll go viral twice. One, because you have the coronavirus, and also because it'll go viral online.
I don't know if you know this. It's not my goal to go viral with my engagement. Yeah. Like, I don't know if I'm going to film it or anything like that. Like, I wanted it to be something awesome for her, you know, and for me.
So, like, real human type of thing.
Yeah, like an actual live human being who gives a shit about his partner.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, but I think I hear you.
What is this human thing you talk about? Not
does
filming?
Not compute.
What?
Yeah, and so, like, all of it's completely ruined. It sucks. I actually haven't canceled my TED Talk yet, so I should probably get on that before this comes out. And they're like, oh, yeah, we learned that you canceled.
This is about Thursday. You got 4 days. Does COVID-19 ruin your engagement?
That's crazy.
It did, and I'm going to wait for it to pass before we, like, I don't know, try and do it all again.
Good luck, dude. The stock market, like, hit zero. What?
It lost
tank today, but I think about 1,800 points.
Yeah.
Set off a level one circuit break for a trading halt because NASDAQ dropped by 7%, which automatically triggers a circuit halt. And then the second one's at 13. It's crazy.
What
crazy
if this shit really does get real bad and somehow turns into some zombie apocalypse type situation and you never end up proposing because you became a zombie?
Yeah, is that how do you feel about the fact that you're a zombie?
I like how you were like, and you never end up proposing. Because you became a zombie. As if the proposing part would be the worst part of that scenario.
I mean, would you propose as a zombie?
It'll happen.
A zombie wedding? That's a great fucking movie. Yeah.
Zombie wedding.
Write it.
I wish.
If you could join up with any influencer, would it be Logan for the zombie apocalypse or no?
I don't know, man. What kind of resources you got?
They're strong.
Endless.
Well, you live in a gated... We need to barricade.
Oh, no, this ain't the location.
We're out.
Full retreat spot. We have a full retreat
location.
Okay,
yeah. Then, all right. Then I'm on your team.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Looking at this picture, dude. Looking at you now in real life, man, we talked about the skin that you have.
Yeah.
And how it's awesome. You're a great-looking guy, great-looking girl, happy couple, smart guy, driven, charismatic, savvy.
Helps others.
I believe... You may have a duty to have a child, even though you don't want one. There's a lot of idiots out there mass reproducing.
Which is why he doesn't want to have one.
No, because I have this conversation with Spencer, too. Spencer.
Then they have to play with the idiots.
Spencer doesn't want to have, he's in Hawaii walking around barefoot, and he doesn't want to have a kid, but him and Angel are amazing. Like, he is the person who should be reproducing and replenishing our planet with more humans. Like, the good ones, right?
But literally, like I said, he's not reproducing because all the idiots are. He's like, I don't want a fucking spawn of mine hanging out with all these Muppets.
Then it'll be my goal to help all those idiots not be much of an idiot. I wouldn't be a good parent because I don't want to be a parent.
Boom.
Period.
Nice.
It makes so much sense. Yeah. It really does.
I don't have a problem with kids. Kids are cool and they're fun. That's not my thing, man. I like cats.
Do you have cats?
I had 3 cats.
Nice.
We talked about Jeffrey Katzenberg earlier.
Right.
Well.
That piqued my interest immediately.
You want to talk about Quibi?
Maker Studios, Cable Monopolies.
Oh, okay.
Are we supposed to do division with that?
What is that?
Is that one divided
Maker Studios divided by Cable Monopolies.
Yeah, do you have an answer?
Well, those are two different things. Like, those are two different things. Which one do you want me to...
I would start with this and then...
Maker Studios, dude.
So Maker Studios was a company that I worked with a long time ago that helped me produce some stuff. They helped me produce like a few shows. They helped me produce a bunch of animated stuff. I was doing animation for a long time. And we had a falling out when they got bought and were transitioning from being a small production company to being owned by Time Warner. And then later they were completely bought out by Disney.
Disney, right?
But when they were going to Time Warner, when Time Warner bought like a majority of the shares, what happened was, I think it was Time Warner. I don't want to get that wrong. But what happened was basically, and I'm obviously paraphrasing this whole thing and glossing over it, but basically Time Warner tells Maker, you know, they start looking under the hood and they go, oh, you have all of these social media influencers under these contracts, but you don't own any of their content, right? Like, you might be signed with some, but I don't know if they own Impulsive.
No.
Right. So Time Warner, who's old school, looked at that and they were like, well, you got to own the content.
They want the IP.
They want the IP.
Facts.
And so Maker came to me, again, paraphrasing, and they were like, hey, man, you gotta sign over the IP to, you know, or at least part of it to Equals 3, and they already owned half the IP. Fuck, I'm going through puberty over
That's
here.
It's all right, man. Happens to everybody.
Yeah, right? So they wanted, anyway, they already owned half of the animation stuff, but they wanted half of the Equals 3 stuff. And I was like, well, give me a give me a contract and I'll look at it. So they gave me a contract, and the contract was awful. Like, it was, we want everything. We're not offering you anything.
This is what, like 2012?
This was 2012, I think.
They were the shit. Maker was the biggest player, right?
Yeah, I think they were the biggest player. And so
most of the contracts that they were serving to people were just signing. You said no.
Yeah, I said no because it was stupid. And then I handed over to my lawyer and I'm like, what do you, back me up on this. What do you think? And he's like, that's Stu. If you show that contract to 100 people on the street, they would say no because they're asking for everything and not giving anything. Which is not a big deal. I get offered things all the time and I go no because that's not in my best interest. But what the problem was is they were helping me produce these things, and their CEO, who was, you know, a lot younger than he's probably in his 40s now, he's in his 30s then, but he was kind of a hothead and he was kind of a bro. And he started trying to strong arm me. He was basically like, hey man, if you don't sign this,
we're going to break your fucking knees.
We're going to cut off like, yes.
Mike wants your legs gone, dude.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So we're going to cut off production to everything that we're working on. Right. So you need to sign this or we're going to shut your shows down. I'm like, well, you can't shut my shows down because one of them you don't own at all. Right. And if you shut the other one down, it's just going to hurt you. And I didn't believe, I was like, whatever, you're not going to do that. And then they did. And they shut down production.
Holy shit.
Yeah, no, they did. They called my bluff and I was like, oh my God. So I had to start filming out of my house, like, so that I wouldn't miss an episode or whatever. And I was like, all right. Cause I don't get into drama and I especially don't fight publicly. Cause I don't get into the thing where I'm like, ooh, I'm so mad at him and I want everyone to see us, you know, fight it out on, that's not my thing.
Live on DAZN.
Yeah, exactly. that's not my thing. Right. So I didn't say anything. I was like, all right, just whatever. They are dicks and move on and do your own thing. You'll be fine. You've always been a self-starter. You'll keep going. But then the CEO, I don't know why he did it. I think he did it just to be a dick. But he put out a press statement that basically said, we dropped Ray from our roster.
What the fuck?
And it made me look really bad. Not that I quit and left, which I did, but basically that they severed ties with me. Because they were, I think, trying to jump out in front of the story. And so immediately my social media is blowing up with like, oh, why did they drop you? What did you do wrong? And all this stuff. And I was like, all right, so I at least need to put my story out there. So I wrote an op-ed, and I'm a pretty good writer. Like, if I hadn't gone into other forms of entertainment, I probably would have written. Mm. So I write an op-ed, and I give it to like the only blog that I know of, and I don't even know if that blog's still around, nor do I remember the name, but I just remember having a contact with someone. So I give this blog, I'm like, hey man, will you publish this? And anyone who searches my name can see the real story. And I said, in fact, here's a copy of that contract that they offered me, and you can put it right next to it so that people know I'm not full of shit. But I don't know if anyone's gonna find it. And he put it up and it went viral like within a few hours.
Wow.
Like, everyone is sharing it because it made them look really bad. At least everyone in my bubble was sharing it, and it made them look really bad. Well, then the CEO, the hothead, like, reads it, and he texts me, and he says something along the lines of,
I'm breaking both your ankles.
He's like, you're going to die, bitch. Something like, you're going to die, bitch. This is war. Something
Wait,
like that.
Now you're being serious.
I swear to God.
So he's actually
God.
Coming for your
it
legs.
Was, yeah, it was like, okay. Like, you're going to die. It was some kind of threat, like in text. And I was like, I can't believe this just escalated to this threat. And so I screen capped that and tweeted it out.
Oh, my God. It is war.
Now it's...
Right.
Holy
so
shit.
then the media, like the not just the...
Eddie Hearn... Joe Markowski.
10-ounce gloves, no mouth guard, right. No headgear.
The media picked up on that, and they were like, wait a minute, this company that Comcast or Time Warner now owns, the CEO is...
Death threats?
Yeah, is threatening this guy. And then they all hit me up for a statement, and I was like, I do not do this. This is not my thing, so I'm not giving you any stay. Everything that I have wanted to say, I said it in my op-ed, and then I showed you the threatening text, and I'm not going beyond that.
Class.
Right? But and I kind of wanted the CEO to be shamed for it, because it was not cool. Like you're in a position where you can't do that shit. And also, don't threaten people in writing, dumbass.
You idiot.
So anyway,
you gotta send those threats by carrier pigeon, dude. Well, I've known that for exactly. My whole fucking life.
You gotta raise
bro.
Up your window and scream your head off.
But as long as a carrier pigeon doesn't have it in writing, it needs to be a parrot who can regurgitate what you said and tell him he's gonna die, bitch.
Cannon string has worked as well, but same well, point. Same point.
I think a few months after that, he got fired for that.
I would assume so. When you start death threatening your
top talent or whatever, like I think like the board kicked him off, and I think he's doing fine now. Like he started another company and
he started a new mob squad of killers.
I saw him in a meeting a couple of years ago, and he like we didn't talk about it, but it seemed fine, like it was okay. And I'm like, all right, cool. He's grown up and all that. So it's all good. But look, man, it was a big company, and he grew it from nothing to being, you know,
sold by fucking Disney, dude.
Yeah, to being sold to Disney. So it was like his baby, I'm sure, and he didn't want it to look bad and all that. I don't know why I'm making excuses for him.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Interesting. I didn't know it was like that.
That's the sort of Maker Studios story. And I don't like. I know people back in the day were like, "Yeah, you hate Maker." I was like, no, everyone I met that worked there, I thought was really great.
Yeah,
I got into the fight with the head guy. Everyone else was really cool.
Are you still tight with any of the OG YouTubers or anyone now? That we may have seen online?
I don't think so.
Were you?
I don't think I was ever tight with any of them. Oh, this guy, you know Lloyd? From Epic Rap?
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
oh
so,
my God, the best.
Yeah, Lloyd's my boy.
The best.
He's the tall one or shorter one? He's the shorter one, right?
He has other, you know, physical characteristics, but yes, he is shorter than the other one.
So you're telling me he has more physical characteristics than just being short, or no?
Yeah, he definitely, I would say he's got more going on than that. He's a really talented guy.
He's the talented one?
Do
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you.
Just a quick determinant. He's the one on the left. He's fucking amazing. This one, right?
Yeah.
He yells.
Yeah, Lloyd.
Well, because this one's really tall.
Yes.
How tall?
Ah, shit, I don't know.
No, we need a height.
7'9".
Is he that tall?
Yeah,
that's Lurch.
Yeah. He gave up an NCAA career to go do comedy music.
You're tight with Lloyd?
I'm great. Well, I just had dinner with him a while back.
Oh, very cool.
But I look, to be honest, I say tight with Lloyd. Honestly, I'm not. I don't want to say I don't have a lot of friends, but I don't. I don't hang out for the sake of hanging out that often.
Yeah, we us.
You
either.
Know what I'm saying?
Us either. Everyone we like lives in this house. That's a joke. That's a fucking.
You
joke.
Just I mean, move him in.
I mean, to an extent.
Hey, you want
to
move in?
It is very hard to hang out. I have a hard time kicking it.
Right,
kicking it back with the boys. I'm either working or kicking it with my boys.
Do booze or any of that shit? Like, do you drink at all?
Not really.
That's like the oil to hanging out.
Yeah,
boozing and drugs are like the oil to hanging out. People, when you're sober and all you're trying to do is build businesses, hanging out is the biggest fucking detriment ever. Like, you want to do what? You want to go see a movie? How the fuck am I going to monetize that?
Right, and what are
it's
we
not
gonna,
even my movie.
What are we going to do during that movie?
Yeah, can I bring my laptop in? Can I answer emails? Like, what am I? Do they have Wi-Fi?
Yeah, it's sort of a weird. I don't know. I don't think I was always like that. I think it developed over time, where you just work so much, and there's like a sort of an accomplishment factor when you're working, and then when you go hang out with someone, you're like, where's that accomplishment factor?
Oh my God,
where did it go?
Yeah.
This feels so weird.
That's why like doing certain things helps. Like, you go to hang out with someone to like do those painting classes where you like paint something together. At least you've done something.
Oh, yeah. Activities to foster a friendship.
Yeah.
That works.
Versus like, you know, the people that you want to hang out, that means like go sit on their couch and throw back 40 ounces or fucking PBRs or some shit.
Are you asking me to take a painting class with you, Mike?
Yes. As a matter of fact, yes, I am.
I'd like that, guys.
Oh,
I'd
the
like
three
that.
Of us.
I'd like that for
Will you hang
all
it on your
us.
Fridge, Logan?
I'd hang it right next to that one. That's some art I made.
See, ladies and gentlemen, his fridge is right there, because literally that is his kitchen. And I don't know if you know this, but at night, Spencer sleeps right here.
He used
right
to.
Here in this place.
Back in the day, just pull up a sleeping bag right. No, but I've had sex right here.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was.
That's
where?
Good.
Where? On the counter, yeah?
Yeah, right here. And right there. She got rug burns though because it was on the carpet.
Yeah.
By the way, that's her fault. She was going too hard. I told her to chill.
Who's that again? Full name?
You know I can't do that particular one.
I don't know.
I have class. I'm not going to reveal all this too much information. God damn it.
Well, we just exploit the shit out of our lives, and I really do wonder when it's going to stop. Like, the fact that you said you wanted to do a real human marriage and not have it on camera, like, I commend you. That's awesome.
Well, it doesn't
seem so obvious, I know, but also, like, what a great piece of content. No. Snap out of it, Logan.
You can do that. Look, people do that all the time. You can do that if you want. I might do it. I might not. I don't think I will. It doesn't benefit me or anyone else in any way for me to like vlog the whole thing.
Why I started capturing anything on video was because I love the fact that it is a moment preserved in time forever.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. So it's this double-edged sword of living in the moment. But also, the moments are fucking fleeting, dude. I don't know what happened 5 seconds ago. I cannot paint the picture for you. I can go here, though. I can go right there and look at it.
So this is such a big argument right now in our day and age. It's like, do you want to record your grandma's last birthday, happy birthday cake moment? Do you want to record it and watch it back? Or do you want to live it with her?
Right.
So that she lives it with you and you live it with her? Or do you want to be standing there like, that's right, grandma, you look great on the screen? And she's like, are you going to fucking sing the happy birthday, or are you just going to look at me on your phone?
Wow.
It's a big fucking question. It is the to be or not to be of our generation. Do you want to live or do you want
to
film?
To film or not to film.
That's it. And it's a big question
for you.
That
is our Hamlet for sure.
100%. especially with your prearranged engagement that you've already run through multiple times with all the specs and everything.
Yeah.
She's like, you said 126, we'd be on It's a Small World after all. What is the holdup? Why are we still standing here? She knows the whole thing.
Because I got a respiratory infection, goddammit.
I got coronavirus.
Come on. Damn, God, it ruined so much for me. I'm so bitter about it. That's why I had to come on this podcast to talk about it. Piss me off.
Are you on the TikTok?
I'm not.
No?
But you
adapted to Facebook.
So I'm 38, so I'm probably 36 years old. 36 years too old to be on TikTok.
Oh.
Yes, I'm 38, you're right. So I'm probably 36.
Yeah, probably 30, yeah.
He's exactly. 35.
Exactly.
Despises TikTok. I'm even 24, dude. I found myself lip syncing at TikTok yesterday, and I'm like, what the fuck am I?
You're not the only influencer to say that. I buddy with a guy who rubs elbow, who works with a bunch of influencers, and he's like, anyone over 18 who makes content for it, like any influencer who feels like they have to do it, they all complain about it because they're like, man, I got a college degree and I'm over here lip syncing to fucking Taylor Swift. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
If you can make a TikTok. Like, truthfully, really funny. And if I can find that spark that made me start doing Vines and, like, that creativity, and I like the product, it I made two yesterday that are actually
amazing,
awesome.
Amazing.
And I watch them, and I'm actually going to post it. When I post it on Twitter, the caption is going to be, I think, something like, wow, I made a TikTok, and I actually don't hate this one. So if you can adapt it to, again, just believe it or not, make you happy, you'll probably be all right.
Yeah, no, of course. And at some point, I might, but I just don't. That demo is so young.
So young.
So young for me.
So young.
And maybe when they grow up. Also, you know, this argument could have been made 2 years ago for Snapchat. And I didn't really do the Snapchat thing. And then it kind of
stuck around.
Yeah, and it kind of went away. And so TikTok, that could be the case for TikTok. Maybe not. Who knows? It could be the next big thing. But I'll tell you this much. In 2 years, it's going to be a completely different one. It'll be a new one. It will be like, have you been on, what, you know. Shablam?
No, Shablam. Quibi.
Have you been on.
Do you have a show on Quibi?
If you're
on Quibi as a creator, are you a quibber?
Nobody likes a quibber.
Quibbering?
I'm a quibber. Is she a quibber? Is Reese Witherspoon a quibber? Quibber?
No, who else?
Have you seen Reese without her spoon ever?
Quibber. God.
That easily, and it could have flown so far under the radar. And I hope someone else heard it besides me, but I caught it last second. It just wasn't fucking incredible.
I didn't hear what happened.
No, I think you have to go back and watch it.
Okay.
Hey, shake my hand. That was great. That was real. Did you hear it? I
can't even mark it. It's just Reese Witherspoon, bro. Check it out. This is Reese Witherspoon, and this is Reese without a spoon.
pretty clever.
I'm sorry. There's just certain things I just can't. This is a lot for me, dude.
Yeah. That one was tricky. That one was tricky.
Dad jokes.
I know.
I love dad jokes. Want to hear my favorite one? I told it on 2 podcasts ago. If you take the filter out of a vacuum cleaner, give it a good scrub, you become the vacuum cleaner.
Are you too smart for dad jokes? You can predict the outcome?
No, it's because he'll never be a dad.
There you go. Look, first of all, that's not a really high bar that you're setting there. Are you too smart for dad? No, you can just, you see it coming from a mile away.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Like, as a person who has spent a lot of time writing jokes, you see them coming.
Let's play a game.
What we got?
It's called Nazi. Yahtzee.
What?
Oh, Yahtzee.
And there goes the monetization
on this episode. A callback.
My ears are sweating.
It happens to all of us. Yeah. It does, trust me.
This game is called First Word with Ray William Johnson.
I was going to clap again. I'm not going
to. We have a list of creators, and we want you to say the first word that comes to your mind. And I think you'll know these ones.
A list of creators.
That's right.
Like internet creators.
Yep.
What's first word for that guy?
Oh, do I? Okay. So yeah. I have to look up here and...
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know the rules.
First word, but with is cut off. So first word, if Ray William Johnson. Here we go.
Vith.
Oh. Lumberjack? son of a lumberjack.
Wait, his mustache in that one kind of...
I hope there's not inside jokes that I'm stepping on.
No.
Oh, I like her. She's great. Sweetheart.
Yes.
Wants to marry into the lumberjack family, but can't. They just can't. He'll never get accepted from the dad. Sorry. Clean cut?
Yeah.
I'm going for hairstyles here.
Yep. All right. Oh, no.
Oh, why always? Oh.
Broke Adam Sandler?
Oh!
No?
You had to do one word. Broke? Oh. How about just broke?
Damn. Okay, one word, water boy.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. That was awesome. Thank you, Ray.
Raymond.
I think.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah.
That's okay.
You crushed it.
Sorry, I don't recognize a lot of the people there.
That's actually fascinating.
That David Dobrik to you is just a person that will never be a lumberjack.
Yeah.
That's all he is to you. He's the world's biggest creator.
I mean, I'm sure he's sure he's a great person. I'm sure
he could probably hack away some logs too.
Oh, David, yeah.
Probably chop the shit out of some logs.
Again, I know how offended internet influencers get when you
these
don't
ones
know
won't.
Who they are.
These okay. ones won't. I feel like it's the ones who almost and could be great and like top tier that get offended. Because they're still in like that phase where you maybe have to put on an ego to embody the role of what it means to be
an
influencer.
They're in the fake it part of the fake it till you make it phase.
Exactly. And these ones all have made it, but they don't give a fuck.
Okay.
They're all doing their thing.
I think it's because they're in a bubble, to be honest with
you. I mean,
you.
That too.
I think
that
they're
too.
Surrounded by people who know them and like them and give them shit and treat them a certain way. And then suddenly they step out of the bubble and it's like, oh, no, maybe I've seen you. I'm not really sure. I don't really watch. And they're like, oh, but this is bullshit.
Yeah.
I can't believe... Oh, you haven't seen my toy unboxing podcast?
I'm Ryan's Toy Time.
It's one whole podcast dedicated to one toy, and that is us. Yeah. You haven't seen it? No. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Do you think part of the reason why they are as big as they are is because they wouldn't get offended or don't get offended when people don't know who they are? Like, they don't get offended by shit so easily?
For sure.
Because how much does thick skin contribute to overall success on the internet?
I mean, it's everything. That's part of what my TED talk was going to be about, was dealing with fear of judgment.
Mm.
Nice.
And
so
like
important.
Everyone naturally has a fear of judgment to some degree. It's like we're hardwired for it. And I can get into the science of it, but I don't have to. But everyone's naturally hardwired for that. So when it takes a special kind of crazy to put yourself in a position where you're on stage or you're on camera and you're in a situation where more people are going to judge you openly than they would in a normal scenario. And it you got to be a little nuts to sort of want that, right?
To bring it upon yourself.
Right, bring it upon yourself. Yeah. And then to have to deal with it and then put that face on of like, okay, this is fine. Like, One person said they hate me today, and that's not going to ruin my day. You know how, like, you know, you have those days, and then you read that one comment, and you're like, oh, fuck. Kill that guy. You know, like, it just ruins every. It doesn't matter if 19 people told you you're amazing. You get that one at that right time, and it like destroys your soul.
I know, so much.
I'll tell you, I'll give you this rule of mine. It probably wouldn't work for you, but it works for me. It probably wouldn't work for you because I think the style of content that you do, which is more involved in the influencer scene.
Got it.
But. So about 10 years ago, I watched there was like a video someone sent to me and it was about me and I watched it and it was a fan. And I want to say it was, you know, some young girl and she was like, Ray's amazing. He's the most amazing person in the world. He's so funny. And I was like, oh, that's sweet. Oh, good for her. Gave it a like and maybe a comment or whatever. And then I watched another one and it was some guy and he was like, Ray's the biggest piece of shit. If I ever saw him, I'd punch him right in the dick. Oh. And it was like, it wasn't just that. It was like saying things that I had done that I was like, I didn't do that. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
Which is another rule you learn as an influencer. If people can't find shit about you, they'll just make it up.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of fun. But anyway, so I watched these two videos back to back. And this was, I was still living in New York, so I believe it was 2010. And I said, I'm never going to watch a video about myself again. And I swear to God, I have not.
Nice.
I swear to God.
Nice.
If someone sends me a video and says they talk about you, I don't watch it. If my name's in the title, I don't watch it. Even if I think it's positive.
Will you watch
this? I do not watch it. I will watch this because I'm involved in it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a little different. But I don't watch it. And it's not because, you know, I can't deal with hater comments. Actually, psychologically, I think that either of those perspectives in either of those videos aren't healthy. Because no matter what this young girl says, I'm not the most amazing person in the world.
Right.
And it's not healthy for me to believe that, nor am I the biggest piece of trash in the world. And it's not healthy for anyone to believe that either. And so what happens to these influencers, I think, and why they get these weird egos is like you're being pulled in completely polar opposite directions.
Holy shit.
In a stage where you're trying to figure out who you are. And likely you know, you land somewhere on the spectrum of, you know, being awesome to like being a turd sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? But they're trying to figure out who they are, and some days they believe this group, and some days they believe this group. And I think it makes them really manic, and it's not good for them. So I completely stay away from that stuff. And frankly, I've probably avoided a lot of drama from it, too.
Oh, my God.
I love that
theory.
Yeah,
what you just said is
I think you're spot on.
That was thank me for coming to your TED Talk. That was incredible. That was fucking
that's
awesome.
That's actually not in my TED Talk.
That was that's really true. I never once thought about it like that in my entire life, but it's so true. Some days you're the hammer, some days you're the nail when it comes to comments, and some days you're the funniest guy and some days you're not, you know, and that definitely has an effect, that going back and forth between turd and amazing, yes, as you said.
Yeah, and why, and like, look, I refuse to be a part of the bullshit story that someone tells themselves about me. And no one that knows me, I believe, has ever like made a video about me, because anyone that knows me would call me and be like, hey, I have a problem with you or whatever. So I don't necessarily like lost anything from missing out on any of this stuff. And occasionally I'll see comments that are like, hey, this, and it's like a username, like this person, like whoever, I don't fucking recognize it.
Bloom
they,
Boy,
they made
it.
Yeah. They made a video about you. You should watch it. It's like, no.
I'm well, good. I mean, also like the other question is like, how much, at the end of the day, do you really give a shit what the audience says about the performer? Like, you're the performer. You're the person that's, and we talked about this the other day. There's two very different approaches. There's either the person that takes critique, takes a lot of that feedback and just swims in it and tries to digest what's what's constructive, because sometimes there's little nuggets of constructive or critique in there. And then there's people that I relate more to that are just like, I don't really give a fuck, unless, like, in all honesty, like, I'm producing the content I want to produce. If you like it, fan fucking task. If you don't, go fuck yourself. Like, yeah. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. So, like, unless you have very specific criticism or critique for me, which we had some on this show recently where it was like, yo, like, pull a little bit back a little bit, let other people, like, whatever. You have that kind of stuff, great. I'll listen to it. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But for the most part, like, I don't really, there's a reason why I'm here and there's an audience that's watching, or that you're here and there's an audience watching. If they want to create their own content, then they should do that. You know what I'm saying? As opposed to telling you all the time, like, yo, you suck, you fucking suck, or you're great, or whatever. You know?
There's definitely that. I'd like to consider myself a bit more receptive to notes delivered in any fashion. You're big on the delivery, right? It's not what you say, it's how you say it. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
It's what you say, I don't care how you say it. If you think
watching right now, I'm a piece of shit. Yo, let me know. And by the way, I'll listen. I'll be like, okay, what did I do? I wonder what I did for me to be better. When I talked with Gary Vaynerchuk for our documentary, the Maverick documentary, he said, you know, if Sally Pants 94147 leaves a comment that she sucks, like, or you suck, maybe she's right. Like, why? Why does she think that? Let's see if I can flip her. Because by the end of my life, I would love to flip everyone who's ever said anything negative about me. And instead of doing the fuck you,
I hate
banishing them forever.
I hate that.
I believe I can flip them. I just need a little bit of time.
I hate that, and I would disagree 100% with GV on that one, just because there's a lot of people out there who just want to say, you suck. No thought, no reason, for sure.
But what if the person that is throwing out those mindless, pointless, mean, negative comments could be flipped to being a good, hopeful, optimistic young person?
I don't know why.
Because of your content.
And what if they can't?
They can't. You want to know why they can't?
Just give it up, guys?
It's a fool's errand to spend all of your time trying to flip people's opinions.
I'm not...
The best thing you can do is be the real you, the authentic you,
100%.
The best version of you, and hope that they get on board.
For sure, but I got 60 more years to do that. Like, I'm sure I'll be able to flip some people. I've already flipped people in the past like 6 months to a year.
Yeah, but you do that by being like
yourself.
You that your friends like being around.
For sure,
that version of you.
So if they don't like that, now I'm like, all right, like, this is the best I got.
Well, yeah, if they don't like that, you're not like, man, I'm not good enough,
for
or I'm
sure
not doing it right. It's that, well, they're just not into me.
Yeah,
man.
for sure.
Some people just don't like the color purple.
Absolutely.
And if you wear
agree.
Purple, they're gonna stick the middle finger in your face.
One of my favorite Jay-Z quotes: "Only God can judge me, so I'm gone. Either love me or leave me alone." That's it. Either love me or leave me the fuck. Like, I don't care. Like, either you fuck with me and you like what I do and you like what I produce, or just go do something else. Like, I don't, unless you have very specific critique or criticism that can tell me how to do better. If you want to deliver a warm heart, everything I write, when I tell, give Logan a note, it is thought out to a T, and I try to do the best possible job I can telling him how to do a better job.
Right.
How you say things. You suck. It helps no one.
Right.
It helps absolutely no one. Why do you? It doesn't tell why the person sucks. It doesn't tell what you're feeling. It does nothing. What do I do with that? You're a simp. You're a loser. You're
a
piece of
shit. What is a simp,
shit,
by the way? It's the one thing that's going around. I don't know what.
It's like somebody that like tries so hard to be with a girl but never hooks up with a girl.
Simp. A simple person lacking common sense. A fool.
Today I learned I was a simp for 38 years.
A man that puts himself in a subservient, submissive position under women in hopes of winning them over without a female bringing anything to the table.
I'm sorry, what are you reading?
Urban Dictionary definition of simp. I like what you said about the videos, the one praising you and the one showing the disdain for you.
They're going to go in either. How many times have you put out a video and every comment is like, yeah, Logan Paul, he's all right? Never.
Never happens.
That never happens. No, it's going to be he sucks or he's amazing. Right? Or this other person in this video sucks. Or they're going to say something, you know, sexually suggestive about the women in the video that's awful, right? Yeah. But none of that, I'm not saying none of it can't be helpful. Maybe it can.
Like, what do you
comment on my videos now?
Yeah.
Yo, you all right?
Yeah, he's all right. No, he's decent. He's a decent guy.
He's decent.
He pays his bills on time.
Well, that's the worst thing. That's the worst comment anyone could ever give you. Give or take. That's the worst thing you could ever get. Because here's the thing. People watching your videos and hating you and commenting it, and people watching your videos and loving you and commenting on it is all engagement that's driving ad revenue and revenue for you and views. Somebody that doesn't care enough, I'm not going to watch. I don't care. That's your biggest problem.
I agree with you from a utility. Sorry, how do I say this?
Utilitarian?
From a logistics perspective. Because you know that old saying, all publicity is good publicity?
Yeah.
I actually don't think that's true anymore.
I agree with you.
I think
so fucking false.
Yeah. I think bad publicity is actually better publicity because negativity travels faster and farther.
Yep, absolutely.
So if you're getting a shitload of negative comments now, you're in terms of the business, you're actually doing it right, which I hate to say. I don't like that, and I don't like to do that shit. But like, yeah, you get people mad at you. You want to play the villain. That's a role that some people have stepped into, and they've made a career out of it.
Sure. Sometimes though, you can shoot yourself in the foot. Like,
nearly 100% of the time, you can shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, but
I'm saying there's stuff you just can't come back from. I'm thinking about that girl who threw a cat on the live stream right now, or the girl who beat her dog up.
Wait a minute, what?
So Alinity's the cat one, and she just got beat up by her cat now the other day. Oh. So it's even, 1-1. So she threw her cat, and Alinity, she's a Twitch streamer.
Okay.
She was singing the other day, and the cat really got her. They have it in slow-mo. The cat pulled the skin off of her with the teeth, and you zoom in, and you could see.
You're fucking lying.
Why did the cat do that?
Why did the cat?
Did anyone ask it?
Alinity's cat finally gets revenge. I mean, it really fucking got her.
Oh, yo, she's hot.
Wait a minute. Really hot. Was she mean to the cat, or was this just a cat being a weird cat?
She threw her cat once.
The cat doesn't like when she sings, and I think she was singing again.
The cat doesn't like what she... Is this it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. This cat scratched the shit out of her.
No, bit. Oh!
Yo, look at it. Right now it's like, fuck you, bitch. You heard?
Bro, the cat strikes back.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Oh my god.
And so this went really big because the story about her throwing the cat is a viral story in the Twitch community, and every time something happens on Twitch, she got no repercussion for throwing her cat. So every time like a girl's nipple slips out and they get banned, they say, but you can abuse animals. And so everybody was waiting for the cat to strike back, and it got her.
Go cat.
It got her good. Go dude. Cat. That was a strong buddy.
Strong fucking buddy.
Yeah. Wow.
I watched the Drake Rap Radar interview.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And I took notes on it. I think he's the GOAT. I think he's incredibly wise.
You mean like as a person?
Yeah, he doesn't think he's a GOAT.
No.
Well, he...
I mean, you like him as a singer, or you like him as the wisdom that he has to offer?
I don't believe Drake is a farm animal. No, both. Yeah. That's why I think he's the GOAT.
Okay.
I love him as a person, and I really love his music.
You have an opinion, I can tell.
No, I was listening. Sorry, okay. No, I was listening.
So I was watching this, and one of the notes I took was he said he tries never to get caught up too much in the highs or the lows, which is kind of what you were saying, and your sentiment towards reacting towards both videos, the really good ones that mm-hmm. tell you how great you are, and the really bad ones. It's all noise, dude. It's cool.
It needs to be all noise, yeah. Or it'll pull you in each direction. Yeah. That it goes day to day. It sucks.
Right here.
Yeah.
And right here, if you stay in your circle and do the shit you love to do and don't be too influenced by the people watching and the people just doing this because they can type on a keyboard, yeah, you'll be good.
The one thing I took out of this conversation today, by the way, too, is both of you guys have done such a good job of breaking out. Like you went into like stand up and then TED, and now you're starting a clothing company, helping people with boxing. And I think that's kind of overlooked when it comes to internet creators and like YouTubers, of how important it is to step out of that realm and into like something new, whether it be like,
yeah,
so like traditional media, whatever, you know? So,
yeah, because look, despite what anyone tell you, offer you a little bit of wisdom, which you already know, I'm sure. Despite what anyone tells you, the way 99% of people experience success is not in this really straight, long line that lasts their entire life. Even if it, from the outside, even if it looks like that, even if you look at Tom Cruise, you're like, well, he's been successful for years. And you go, no, that's only because you're not zoomed in far enough. Success comes in pockets, right?
Yep.
Right? And so you gotta catch each pocket as it comes, because everything changes over time. I think I referenced it earlier, where, you know, podcasts might be out of favor in 2 years.
Yep.
And then you gotta like do the next thing. What you don't want to do is be like, well, I'm going down with this ship. Then guess what's gonna happen? You're gonna go down
with the ship.
You're gonna go down with it.
Yeah. I love that advice.
Yeah.
It's a series of crests and troughs, highs and lows, and you just, all you have to do, very simple, have more wins than you do losses.
Yes.
And stay on the up and up. But if any normal person's progression to success looks like this, and I'm on the camera's down, so
right,
let's see how if there's ups and downs, little ones,
and then some. No, but then sometimes
for my case,
yeah. Or no, and everyone, a lot,
yeah,
of
but
for, and everyone
keep on that up and up,
yeah,
always and yeah, you jump from like pocket to pocket, and that's the thing, man. When people talk about success like a thing, I look at it as more of a personality trait, one that you can develop over time if you want. So you say someone is successful, and I say, well, they're a successful person, meaning that no matter what comes their way, they're going to make it work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Most
that is
really
awesome.
Successful stories I know of are of successful people. Like they did this for a while. They were very successful in that arena.
Right.
They went not most, I guess, but a lot of the stories of successful people are successful people, like you said. You have a lot of really strong insight. I didn't know that you were going to bring this.
I agree.
This has been a really good show.
I was going to say, this was fucking phenomenal, bro. You are incredibly wise and articulate.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, of course, dude. And not that my validation means anything, but I no.
Secondary,
I'm blessed.
You just tramp stamped them. Secondarily, it does. It means a lot to him.
So yeah, my advice to you, and well, to really anyone about being successful, because I get asked about that a lot, and I'm sure you do too, is develop that personality trait.
Yeah.
Don't wait for luck to come along. Luck happens. We can point to a million people who got lucky, but luck happens, but it doesn't stick around. Luck happens once, maybe twice in your life. Mm. Right, the people who stay successful for a long time, that's not luck. That is something that they are doing in their approach to every single thing they do, that they make it work.
Facts.
Right? There's a reason why you went from being successful on Vine to having a successful podcast to, you know, you're getting all the I don't know how successful you are in boxing, but I'm sure you're kicking some ass.
So in many ways, it's not even true.
He's a very good boxer. Just hasn't turned the engine on completely yet. One thing, another.
I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready. I'm gonna.
I'm warming up.
I'll hit him next time.
Yeah. The one other thing you pointed out a little bit when you were saying about successful people too is they diversify. Like think about it. The success rate of somebody who tries a lot of things is probably higher than somebody that says, "I really like this and I'm gonna do just that." Really uber successful people you know have tried a million things before the first thing hits. You know what I'm saying? And maybe some of the other ones hit pretty well, but then that one booms, you know? You got to try things. Get out there and do shit.
If your video game thing had taken off, we'd all be playing Battlegrounds or whatever.
Versus
right
Alinity.
Now,
yeah,
right? You'd be doing that instead of this because you just that's the way it happens, man.
By the way, I don't know. I don't know Alinity or like anything about her. But like I feel bad because I know what it's like to be pinned as that one person who did that one thing.
I don't. I don't subscribe to that whatsoever. She gets cat that. It's even. But I even. Yeah, she's cool.
She's
but
now
even
the girl who got attacked by her cat.
But even before that, like I didn't give. I didn't even see the Catherine video. I want to.
Alinity,
well.
It's jokes. Yeah, yeah, it's all jokes, dude.
They squashed the beef. It's fine.
Yeah. All right. Ray, thank you. I want to see this TED Talk, so if you can risk getting the coronavirus and going to Belgium for it.
I'll give it at some point. Maybe not this round, because, you know.
Okay, that makes sense. Nice. Where can they find you on social media if they want to do that?
You can search me, Ray William Johnson. That's my handle everywhere. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram. I run like 12 Facebook accounts.
You got all that
make money doing different things.
Yeah. Facebook.
Like they're different branded. Sharp. Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, but yeah, you
very
can find
cool.
Me.
Very cool. Thank you for coming on, brother.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
And for everyone listening, thanks for being a part of our now plus 2 million subscriber gang. Woo! gang skirt. We love you. We'll see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.